Lose the Cape Podcast, episode 79. It is Wednesday, May 3rd, as I record this introduction. I cannot believe May is already here. It's crazy. It's beautiful weather in Columbia, South Carolina. I know it's still snowing in some places, so hopefully we are going to get beyond that very soon, because who wants snow at the end of April and early May? That's just crazy talk. Today, Aubrey and I are excited to bring you an interview with Jamie. She is a lot of fun. She runs her own business and is a mom and is just entertaining. We want to remind you about our Mother's Day giveaway. In order to enter, it's so simple. All you have to do is go over to Lose the Cape on iTunes and leave us a review. Everyone who leaves us a review before Mother's Day will be entered to win a fun goodie basket of things we've put together. We've got bath soaps and something from Today May Suck, a wonderful little care package for a mom. We've got books, we've got a course, a self-love course, we've got a journal, we've got jewelry. It's a fantastic basket of goodies to really celebrate our one lucky mom winner. So please head on over to iTunes and leave us a review that you love our podcast and get you some Mother's Day joy from Lose the Cape and our wonderful sponsors who are joining us with this. You can find out more information about the prize pack on losethecape.com/podcast/78. Welcome back to another episode of the Lose the Cape podcast, where we interview busy modern moms and pick their brains for other tips, tools, strategies, and anything else that they can give us to help us survive through this world and of raising little munchkins. I'll use munchkins. That's a nicer word than what I want to say this morning.
So, it is. Yes.
Jamie is a business strategist, our guest today. I don't think I introduced her. Jamie is a business strategist helping small businesses focus on what needs to happen in the short term to reach their long-term goals. So if you have big goals that need a path to structure, processes, and software to execute but aren't sure what to tackle first, you need to talk to Jamie. And in fact, she will be giving away 2 one-hour sessions for one person and her accountability partner to knock out the plan for one goal they are working on, which is really an awesome giveaway. Thank you, Jamie, for that. And thank you for being with us.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. It's early in Arizona here, so I haven't had my coffee yet.
Well, it's not so early in South Carolina, but what we were discussing before we started the podcast was that both Aubrey and I are hot messes today, so we'll see how this all goes down.
Yeah, that's what I feel like every day, so.
I think that's just part of the whole world of being a mom and an entrepreneur. Entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur.
Well, I woke up with good intentions, but then I have a 5-year-old who can make those intentions just go right out the window because she flips out. Like, she wakes up good, and then all of a sudden she just says she will go to school. So I don't feel good. Well, you're not running fever. You have to go to school.
Had that same thing today with my 10-year-old.
My kids are older, and so they're moderately self-sufficient, but not self-sufficient in the way that I want them to be. So, I'm probably their inner monologue, like, you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. Okay, Jamie, well, tell us more about you and your business and how you wound up in this position. And the business name is Caffeinated Possibilities, correct?
You betcha.
All right. So tell us all about it.
Well, I was going to name it Never Ending To-Do List because that's
about right too.
But I realized that most of my projects get completed with lots of caffeine. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed like Caffeinated Possibilities was like the smart way to go. So, the business is focused on the sales side of everybody's business. I noticed that more and more people, when I started this because I noticed how many small business owners were blending sales and marketing and making it one thing. And they weren't understanding that these are two separate skill sets. They look at like Facebook, Instagram, and blogging as like an activity to generate sales. And it's really like top of funnel activity. And they don't really understand all the marketing gals are doing a good job, like with all of that stuff. But I don't see that there's anybody focusing on the middle of the funnel, like how to have a sales conversation with someone. Yes. So that once you have a hot lead and you need, how do you talk to them? Right. And then how do you share your value? What's, you know, so that's the sales coaching side of things. And then once you get them to buy into what you're doing and want to meet with you and want to have those discussions, a lot of people also don't understand like the meeting people and farming aspect of things, where it's like maximizing what you do inside of that process. So like if you meet a person live, you have to put that lead somewhere and that's into a CRM, and then you have to follow up and email them. And automation is a smarter way to do that than you hoping that you remember to send someone an email or give them a phone call. So I help people understand how the sales process can be automated as well, to make their lives easier, to be more efficient. Because if the machine is doing the job, then you don't have to, because I'm busy and I forget that I'm supposed to email that person on Tuesday. Do you know what I mean? Where if I set it up in the automation, like, oh, that was 3 days from when I met them. And so the email automatically goes out. And lots of other things like that. I think a lot of people also forget like existing referrals and like to ask for referrals, where if you automate that, it just happens. Then you don't have to feel like a couple episodes back, you don't have to feel icky about doing all the things that you know you're supposed to do because you've crafted one thing that like makes that message come across flawlessly. So
I think Aubrey and I need to be the winners of your giveaway.
I know. I was just thinking, I was like, oh yeah, I don't even know. There's no sort of
It's so automation. I mean, everything you just like, and well, for me, it's not even that I don't know that those things need to happen. I just can't implement it.
Yes.
Like, it's just you know, the time that it takes to, I feel like I'm running around like a crazy person. And I know if I would put more automation and systems in, it would save me so much time, but actually taking the time to do it. And it's so stupid, isn't it? It's like,
it is. Well, like a welcome, like a welcome sequence. I'm working on a guest blog for, and I'm like, I was like, what's the one thing that your audience struggles with? And she goes, I think no one knows where to start when it comes to like automation. Yeah. She's like, could you build a welcome sequence or could you build the emails out? And I'm like, yeah. And I was like, I'll give you two options. One that's just like one welcome email with everything you need to know. And then one with like the option to send three emails. And she was like, you just know how to craft that email. And I was like,
yeah. Are you magical?
I forget that people don't know this stuff. Yeah. And like, that was even how really this was born, was that, I didn't think that there was a lot of value in this because I've been doing it for so long. And my whole peer group was people that are salespeople. And so it's just like a given that you do that and you kind of razz on each other. If you don't do that, and it's like, come on, you know better. And so I forgot more or less that salespeople, that not everyone is a sales like professional, and that they don't understand the sales process and they don't understand how to write emails to people. And, so.
Okay, so I'm not even going to lie about my business. I push people to an email often, like all the time through Instagram and Facebook, and I have never sent one freaking email out.
Oh, never. You're not alone. That's what I'm saying. This happens to people all the time, where they do all this top of funnel stuff, and they get all these people like, they get their subscriber list growing. They have all these followers.
Right? I see people subscribe all the time. I'm like, I really need to do something about that.
Yeah. See? Yeah. It's a really common problem because people just don't know where to start. So that's where I'm like, okay, you have to sell people things and pitch them things in a way that you're comfortable in order for them to give you money. Fun fact.
So tell us a little bit then about what is in a great email welcome sequence.
Oh, sure. So I'm going to pull up that blog that I even did just now so that I make sure that I hit it right.
Do you have a blog post about it?
I don't have a blog post about it on my thing, but I will make sure that I get you the link to the guest blog post that I'm doing.
Awesome.
Because it has an opt-in in it, actually.
Nice.
You have to opt in to get access to the email templates.
Awesome.
for me, what's important is setting the tone of what, I mean, email should always be anytime you're in the sales process, it should be relational. You're building relationships. So think about when you meet someone. To me, I think of it as, if I'm meeting someone for the first time, I don't want them to come on strong. I want to set the tone for the relationship. Like, and I always love dating analogies for, you know, sales, because it's like, if you meet someone new, you may ask for their contact information to get back in touch with them. And then it's maybe a good idea to set up the next time that you want to meet. And then from there, it's a conversation. It's not like pushing people. And so when it comes, in my mind, when it comes to a welcome sequence, you're setting an expectation. It's like, oh, hey, remember we met, you know, you wanted to either opt in or we met at a recent like event that we were at. You want to set the tone for how many emails they should expect to see or what you're about to do to them. Like, I hate opting into things at this point because I know what's about to happen to
right.
me. You know what I mean? But a lot of people don't set the tone. Like, you'll receive, like if they've opted into your newsletter, like you'll receive an email once a month. Or you'll receive weekly emails from me. And there's some times where I opt into someone's thing and they never tell me that I'm going to get daily emails. And then I'm like, oh my God, why does this person keep sending me email?
Yeah.
So I think setting the tone is a good idea. And that is the first thing that you can do. And then the next one is asking them to take a small action. So you want them to buy into what you're doing in a bigger way. So opting in and like saying, hey, go over and like my Facebook page, or here's the link to my Instagram page, whitelist me into your email server. And so, you know, into your email so that I can be in your contacts and I will get not into your spam filter, but over into your inbox. You want them to take some small action so that they may not do it right away, but they you want them to remember you, you know. And then if you can do this all in one email, or you can send a third email and say, ask them what they're interested in seeing more of. I mean, if you are doing a ton of Pinterest marketing and all they wanted to do was get your download and they don't ever want to hear from you again, then don't keep emailing them. Take them out of your email list, because one, that's eating up all of your contacts. Like, your most CRMs and email tools, like most email service providers, are set up on a per user basis. So if you have 1,000 users in there and only 500 of them only want to get your crap, and the rest of them 500 opted in to get that one free download that you had, like, ask them, like, what do you want the relationship to be like from here? And again, if they aren't interested in getting an email from you long-term, then don't keep emailing them. Like, give them the option to say, I want to see more things from you about sales. I want to see more things from you about automation. I want to see more things from you, or I just wanted your download. And give them the option to say that. It's a good relationship then, because then you're not annoying them, you're not getting unsubscribes, and you're not wasting space in your CRM paying to email market, or paying to market to that person that doesn't even want to talk to you anymore. So, right. You know,
which opt CRM in do you everything. Use for your email?
I'm using 3 right now.
Oh, jeez. No.
I'm using Infusionsoft. I'm using Infusionsoft, Drip, and then I have, if you fill out any of my lead forms, they're connected to Dubsado, because I'm trying to figure that one out right now. So.
Gotcha.
And they're not really email service provider. They're more of a CRM, and right. Drip is more of an email service provider. That's Lead Pages,
right.
CRM, and then Infusionsoft. That's actually how I came into all of the automation spaces, that my husband is like this insane CRM, like, God in the Infusionsoft space. So well, I don't know how else to put it. They literally gave him an award when he worked there that's called the Setup God of Infusionsoft.
Oh, like, my gosh.
I don't make this stuff up.
So you kind of have to, use it in that case, when you're married to the Infusionsoft God.
Yeah. Right. You just use Infusion. You can't not have it as part of your lineup, you know? So.
Oh my goodness.
But how great is that? I mean,
well, Robert, if I ever get hung up or lost.
Yeah, then, there you go.
You know?
Yeah, and Infusionsoft.
Well, I happen to know a guy that can help me out.
Yeah, from what I understand, it's a pretty complicated system to use. So, yeah.
It's complex, and you can do a lot of really neat things with it, and you can get really lost in it, too.
Yeah.
So the analogy they use all the time is like handing the keys to a Lamborghini to a 16-year-old.
Or to me. because MailChimp confuses me. Obviously, no email sent. So as someone who hasn't sent emails, like ever, do you think it's okay to just randomly, oh, remember 6 months ago when you signed up for me?
Well, it's like, I'll tell you, it's funny. I actually got a text message like from a Mary Kay lady this week that was like, hey, I'm with Mary Kay. Do you want to be in my 100 faces thing? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, who are you? And, I mean, I literally was like, who are you? And then, of course, because I'm a psycho, I went and Googled her phone number and found her Facebook profile. Because you can do, like, people don't realize that your information is so readily available.
Oh,
I just
yeah.
plugged her phone number into, I actually Googled her in Facebook. Like, I know it's the search tool, but I searched her phone number in Facebook and her profile came up. And I sent her a link to her profile. I was like, is this you? Because I don't know you. We're not friends. But she didn't, like, if you're going to start emailing people, you want to gauge the temperature of the relationship, reintroduce yourself, just like as if you were reaching out to an old friend, you know, from high school or old acquaintance and be like, hi, you know I haven't been in touch. And you just kind of want to acknowledge the awkwardness of it. Like, hey, I know that you opted into the thing, but I've not emailed you. So I want to start doing that now. Here's the type of stuff I can provide and then break that out because you want to segment your list. Again, just like what I said, ask them what they're interested in seeing from you. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's an easy way to segment your list is what they're, you know, what the term is. So.
Ah, very good.
Because if they only want to see the Lose the Cape podcast or if they only want to see, you know,
right.
one that you did, then keep sending them that.
And they don't want emails about potty training because their kids are 13. So,
right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
So,
okay. So you were working corporate America before, yes. right? And so was mm-hmm. your husband. So at what point in time did you decide that it was best for you to leave your job? And did you already kind of have an idea that you were going to start up your own business after that? Or did that kind of, no?
Yeah, no. There were a couple of factors. And the biggest thing for me personally was that my job wasn't being super fulfilling to me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't serving my family in any way, but financially. And for me, from an ego, like an ego and pride perspective, because it gave me a lot of like, I can do all this stuff. But I mean, I was traveling every other week. And so when you're gone every other week, you're not present in your family because right. I'm gone 1 week and then I'm home 1 week where I put the house back together and then I'm moderately engaged in what's happening. And so the big kicker for us was that my husband left. He was working for Infusionsoft and he left Infusionsoft to start his consulting business. And our family's needs just changed when that happened. Mm-hmm. I got promoted. Reluctantly, I didn't really want to step into a role that they were asking me to take on. Like literally the job was the first week I'll tell you, I was on vacation and I came back and they're like, we took away one of your territories. And this is just corporate. Like we took away one of your territories. You only have this one space because we want you to step into this management role. This is happening. And I'm like, okay. And then they said, the first thing that we need to take care of is that you need to assess the team. Cause apparently now I have a team of 8 people that had worked there for longer than I had. And all of them were President's Club people, like super successful people. And they were like, you have to pick one of them to let go. And I was I just came back from vacation.
Oh my gosh.
Like what? And like, it's totally something that I could do. Like we can all assess somebody and cut them. But at the same time, you're like, I didn't even want this job. I didn't apply for this job. I've been trying to get off the road, like as it is for like 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then my boss was like, I think that he's like, you're going to be in this role. You're going to be traveling even more. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, this is not what I signed up for. And I realized more and more that I had a choice in this because I felt so passive in it. Most of my friends had worked for the company for like 20 years. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to work here for 20 or 30 years and climb the corporate ladder. And it never even dawned on me that I had a choice in it, really. And mm-hmm. So we had a discussion about it. I took a job locally, hated it. I mean, still made good money, but I hated it. And so he was kind of... he was looking for some help in his business and just wanting me to be home more, like more present, because he was busy. His business was booming, is growing. So initially I just was there to support him more and support the kids more, like be more of a wife and mom. I'd never had the opportunity to do that because I had my daughter when I was so young that I just needed to go like all out and jump in and be corporate and make things happen. And so it was nice. It was like, I'm a little bit burnt out when I really stepped back and I was like, I think that would be nice to take a step back and not do that. And so we had the discussion and made the decision together that maybe it was time for me to take a step back, help him out some in his business, see if I could even fit into that and step in. And when I left, people wanted to hire me and I was friends and former like customers. And I was like, why would you want to hire me to teach you guys about sales? Like what? And I just said no for a long time and just kind of hung out. I built my planner group and I just kind of enjoyed having an abundance of time. And I'm a terrible admin, it turns out. It wasn't super helpful with my husband's business. And even not working, most of my friends were like, you need an admin. You aren't an admin. So, you know, we tried to make it work. And I eventually was just like, maybe I should be doing something else. And he was like, I think that would be a good idea because he's a skill set that I don't really do. He runs a referral business primarily where his last client refers his next clients and like right. it's churn. So he doesn't really have the need for a salesperson in the truest sense. And so I'm like, well, I could go do that stuff that my friends are trying to pay me to do. And he's like, people are trying to pay you. And I'm like, yeah, like just to come in and like teach a team of like 20 real estate agents, like sales. And he's like, what? Why are you not doing that?
Because I work for you. I'm your admin.
And I'm awesome.
I'm like the worst admin ever, but you totally need me, right? Like, no, you're okay. Like, and I mean, he was almost like, step away from the computer. I'm really helpful at trade shows because I can do that really well.
Yeah,
so the biggest thing was it wasn't serving our family. It was only serving me. And even then when it got to the point where they asked me to take that role, it was just like, this isn't serving anybody. Like if I'm going to be traveling 90% of the time and I'm never going to see my kids. And I had one in high school and the other one was starting into elementary school and she was having a hard time like focusing on things. And I'm like, I can't be doing this, you know? And then my mom moved away and we just had so much stuff going on that it didn't make sense for me to be in that role anymore. So. And I didn't need to be. I mean,
right.
You wanted me to stay home after I had our daughter. And I was like, no, I want to go back to work. So,
well, that's a good story though. I like how it all played out and how I like hearing how well you and your husband communicate together about the big decisions. At least that's the way you portrayed it. We'll go with that.
We have our days. I mean, when I say that I'm a terrible admin, that doesn't go well. When he's legitimately busy and needs admin, like a virtual assistant.
Right. Right.
I'm like, I scheduled that thing. What more do you want from me?
You mean I have to go in there and print something out? You kidding me?
Yeah.
But that's a super brave decision to make going from a stable corporate job to a mom and wife role. The transition is not easy. I know mentally.
Well, I was never like super appreciative and I never, and in fairness, I never saw stay-at-home moms. Like I never considered them in my world, if this makes sense. And I'm not saying that to sound like I was dismissive of them, but I never saw what their day looked like. I never thought about it.
Right.
It just, I never put myself in the frame of mind. So when I wasn't working, I was like, wow, stay-at-home moms are kind of really brave because having people be like dismissive of you. I mean, no one emails you and no one talks to you and no one's available at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday to go have coffee. You know, and so it's like, wow, this is, I immediately found myself to be a little bit lonely when I like became kind of a stay-at-home mom / part-time admin, you know, like this is terrible.
I had the same experience when I left my job and like I remember the first time I went on a play date with my kids because I left my job in March of 2011. March of 2011. And I went to my friend who was a stay-at-home mom invited me to a play date at the park. Well, I mean, first of all, it was spring break, so all the bigger kids were there too. Oh, yeah. So they were all being obnoxious and knocking down the little kids. And I had a 2-year-old, and not even a 2-year-old, she was like 15 months old, and a 4-year-old, and they were being picked on by the big kids. And I smacked my head on the monkey bars. Oh, and no. I mean, it was just like the worst day ever. I was like, I hate this. I don't want to be chasing a 15-month-old if she's getting traumatized by these 10-year-olds who I want to smack in the head. And I'm just like, and none of the moms are talking to me, and I couldn't talk to them anyway because I'm chasing kids. And I was like, this is not fun.
Exactly.
Go back to my job.
Well, my kids are older, like they go to school, and so I was this doesn't even make sense like in my mind. It's like, it doesn't even make sense, but I don't know.
Well, I had always worked kind of for myself or with my husband, and then after my second daughter was born, I was like, you know, I think I want to go out into the corporate world. I want a job. And like the first day, I'm like, what do you mean I have to be here at 8 o'clock? Yeah. I mean, I can't just leave when I want to. So yeah, that lasted like 6 months. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not cut out to be told what to do every day.
I always took a sales job so that I could have the flexibility to do whatever the heck it was that I wanted.
Yeah.
And like, even my work habits, like even my husband was like, why do you take 2-hour lunches? And I'm like, why do you not take 2-hour lunches? And he's like, and then like some days I'm like done at 3:30, and he's like, what makes you think you're just done? And I'm like, I don't have anything else to do, and I don't feel like starting something else. And like,
yeah,
like sales, you know, hashtag sales. Like,
you know, I have to say that even though I'm working my butt off trying to grow my business, I will never give it up, because the luxury of being able to go on a field trip with my kid and not have to ask permission, or stay home with them when they're sick. And, you know, if I don't want to get dressed in the morning, I don't have to get dressed in the morning. And I mean, it's just, working for myself is amazing. Yeah, it's a constant hustle. Hopefully one day when I get these automation systems in, I won't be so hard. But I never, ever, ever want to work. I have the best boss in the world.
She's super sexy, and she's pretty, and she's smart.
I mean, you get employee of the month, like, every month, right? I have the best parking spot. I'm going to make me a sign. Employee of the month parks here.
I love it.
I do. Oh, that's awesome. So when you started your business, then your kids were a little bit older, so you may not have had some kind of the struggle of the juggle that everybody does, but I'm sure you still have challenges that come along with momming and running a business, right? Or are you
like putting on a bra every day feels like you're asking a lot. I mean, leaving the house is like a moderate crisis, it seems like. I mean, for me in the corporate world, everyone's setting your focus, setting your goals, and there's checks and balances in place for what needs to happen. So when you're at home and you're like looking at a sink full of dishes, and you know you need to get a blog post written, and you're like, I just want to go watch Netflix, you know?
that is the challenge.
And, you know, I mean, and or your kid comes home and you just want to go cuddle on the couch with them, and you've got, you know you've got 45 minutes more of work, and then you've got dinner to make. And my struggles are a lot to do with distraction and a lot to do with saying no to things, because I do have an abundance of time that I'm not accustomed to having, and I'm more available. So I think I'm like the mom that's on 15 people's kids like list to be picked up if they're sick. And then I do PTSO, like I'm doing the yearbook right now. And so for me, I can be more involved, and there's things I'm capable of doing, but there's things that become time sucks that I have to balance out just learning to say no to. Yeah. And even though my kids are a little older, there's still responsibilities. And then my older daughter is 19 and she's in college. So like she has legit grown up homework sometimes, like, like she has to she's writing a speech right now. And so she's, you know, we all met in Jessica Razdel's speaking mentorship, and she's like, can you help me write a speech? And I'm like, girl, we got this. Like,
I got this.
You know, so
we
even though
we haven't actually gotten to that part yet, so
yeah, I know. We, even though we, but I mean, even the, there's skills that she's like, are you okay doing that? And I'm like, I've been speaking in front of people for years mm-hmm. in a corporate setting. So yeah, we got this, you know? So there's more of my corporate is like applying at home still. So right. that's nice to feel needed when real life skills are happening. And then my little one, she struggles a little bit to focus in school. So every day she has daily work that gets sent home that we have to do together. And so we'll sit at the table and we'll work on it. Or I'm just like, crap, there's a pile of it that we have to sit and do. And so.
Don't you hate that crap pile of homework?
It's like, I really hate homework, period.
I wish they would just not send it. So, but then this is like daily, this is like daily work that she should be getting done in class. So, and like part of me wants to go sit at the school, but then I'm like, that's not productive either for her or for me or for the teacher. And I'm just going to be over there bossing people around, probably being rude to somebody's kid and making them, you know, upset. So,
but yeah, they'll survive. It'll be okay.
Oh yeah. It's she'll be okay. So she's tough cookie. So,
wow. Okay. So you don't sound like you have a whole lot of me time, but when you do, what do you, if you, perfect world, perfect day, what would you be doing?
I just want to get a pedicure at like 10 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday with an iced tea. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, empty nail salon. I don't want to talk to anybody.
Thank you. Yes.
Like, empty nail salon. Like, the girls can talk amongst each other because they do anyways. Yeah. And then I just want to get a pedicure and be left alone. I don't even want my laptop or my phone. Like, I'll leave it in the car. I'll just sit there and stare at the TV. And
yeah,
you know,
I had a whole spa day that my husband gave me for Christmas. It included massage, facial, mani-pedi. Well, first they do the massage, so they get you all nice and relaxed, and the facial, and you're in that dark room, and it's great. And then they take you out into the nail salon, and it's like bright, and these women are just catty and talking, and I'm like, for the love of Jesus, shut up, you know?
Why like, is it that a quiet experience? Why?
Yes.
Is
it oh, and then I went and got a pedicure, and this guy, a guy who just had broken up, his girlfriend had just broken up with him, and he sits down right beside me. And I have this look on my face like, I don't care, don't talk to me. Yeah. But he didn't read that look very well. And I thought, maybe if you can't read this look, it's the reason why your girlfriend broke up with you.
Exactly.
So the girl's like following my feet, and she's like, your feet are so soft, you know? And I'm like, well, thanks. Shut up, though. And she said, do you wear closed-toed shoes a lot? And I'm like, yeah, I don't really, like, I have to have shoes on. And he leans over, you know, we're closed. And he's like, steel-toe or not steel-toe? And I just look at him like, dude. No. Like, I left. Like, I didn't even let her finish my toes. I'm like, they'll just dry outside. I was relaxed, and y'all totally ruined it.
Yeah, my older daughter, at least, she gets it, and so we'll go do this together where we don't talk. Like, we have no conversation, and we just sit there.
Isn't it great?
Watch the salon as things happen. So, yeah, and then we text each other. Well, she's older now, so as your kids get older, you can do fun things with them, like text. In the nail salon and make fun of people that are in there, which is kind of a little bit of our past. Like, not mean girl, but like, did you see the color nails of that older lady?
Yeah.
Or did you see, like, they scrape the bottom of your feet? And so it's like, are you watching? There is like some weird fascination with that. So yeah, having your kids get older, because I know a lot of people are young, you know, moms. And but as your kids get older, for me at least, they get a lot funner. There's a time where you hate them and they hate you, and then it comes back together. So my older daughter is on the other side of that, where we've like,
we're just getting into the,
I'm sorry.
She just turned 10. Mm. It is. It's hard.
The little one's coming into it. Like, she still likes me, but we went on a field trip. Like, mostly we went on a field. I got to go on a field trip, and I've been on two of her field trips this year. And the second one, she was like, do you think that dad could come? Cause you're kind of like always coming on these things. With me. And I was like, oh my God, now I'm like too available. Like, in my head, I'm like, now I'm too available. She just takes me for granted. And then we went on the field trip, and I was like, I told my older daughter, I was like, she said like that she would have rather had her dad come. And what do you do with that? And she was like, my older daughter is super defensive with me. And she's like, how dare you tell mom that you said you would rather have dad come? Mom's super fun on field trips. And I would have liked to have mom on all of my field trips, but I didn't get that because she had to work. And so you should be grateful. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. It's probably better coming from a sister than you. Cause like when I tell Emma, like, you should be thankful that I do all this stuff for you, and that, and she just looks at me like, you should be thankful that I haven't slapped you yet. You know?
My older daughter's like, you know, Key and Peele has Obama, you know, they had President Obama's anger translator. Like my older daughter is like,
That's awesome. Fun.
Okay, so before we wrap this up, just tell us really quickly about your giveaway and tell us where people can find you.
Sure. So you're never going to be able to spell caffeinated possibilities, so I know you'll link it in below. it's a fun and terrible thing. There's too many I's. So you can find me. It's caffeinated possibilities really across the board. So Instagram, Facebook, and then obviously the website. And as far as the giveaway goes, so it's really up to you what you, how you want to spend your time. I'm a big fan of accountability. So I have an accountability partner. We have a process, and I have a blog on that as well. But I think it's really important that when you're working on goals, that somebody else knows who those goals are, especially as a solopreneur. Because if you don't have anybody kind of checking in with you and saying, hey, you need to, how's that going? It's easy to get lost in the mix. So what I'd like to do is spend an hour with you working through something that you're struggling with related to your sales process. So whether it's sales process, whether it's understanding a little bit of how marketing automation or specific sequences, or even if it's just rewriting the questions that you use inside of your face-to-face discussions. So sometimes people don't understand how to do that so that they can build a solution and get all their questions answered in a way that's valuable to their customers. I hope this is making sense.
Yes.
It's like, the amount of sales training I have is insane. So I'd love to just transfer some of that knowledge for an hour with you. And then I'd love to do the same. I'd love for you to be able to gift that to your accountability partner. So if you're, you know, if you've got an accountability partner, if you don't, we can find another person. But, and then I'd love to explain to both of you guys for like 20 or 30 minutes how you guys can pull off accountability too. And that way you guys can understand what that relationship looks like and how to live that out, without me needing to be involved. So
that is a great giveaway.
Yeah. I was like, oh, did you know Alexa? She's my accountability partner. So is this like a total conflict of interest to enter?
Aubrey and I might be the only people who know how to enter this.
Chop that off. Oh.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Jamie, so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks for your time, ladies. Thanks for having me on.
Have a good afternoon.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the show. We hope you loved it. We also hope that you are interested in winning our Mother's Day surprise pack. Please, in order to enter, head on over to iTunes and leave us a raving review, and you will be entered in to win this big box of just fun stuff that any mom will appreciate. Have a great day.